Hello and welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we are learning Masechet Megillah. We find ourselves on Daf Chaf Vav Amud Bet, that's 26b, right in the middle of the page. If you look at the page, you'll see that there are skinny lines up on top and wide lines at the bottom. We are 8 lines up from the wide lines and the skinny lines. So if you count up 8 lines, we are right in the middle of that line. This series of recordings is a joint project of OU Torah, the OU Department of Synagogue Services, and the Daf HaShavua Foundation. What we've been discussing is the holiness of synagogues, and we've been discussing how, under what conditions you can sell a synagogue. Generally speaking, you have to sell it in order to purchase something that has a higher sanctity, or perhaps possibly the same level of sanctity, and you need to have a certain level of authority. You need to have permission from the B'nai Ha'ir or the Shiva Tove Ha'ir, and the Kedusha of the Beit HaKnesset, of the synagogue, has to go out of it before it can be used for any secular purposes. So in the context of that, we're going to discuss different kinds of objects and what kind of holiness they have. Tanu Rabbanan, our rabbis taught, Tashmishe mitzvah nizrakin. Now, tashmishe mitzvah are objects that are used in the performance of a mitzvah. And we'll see what they are in a moment. But as an example, a lulav is used in the performance of the mitzvah of shaking a lulav on Sukkot. It is a tashmish shel mitzvah. Those objects, when you are done with them, nizrakin, they may be thrown away. Once they're done with doing the mitzvos, they don't have any longer an inherent sanctity in them. There is some question about whether or not we should treat them respectfully. Perhaps when we throw them away, we need to throw them away in some more respectful way than the rest of the trash. Or perhaps we need to burn them so that they are not used for other reasons. Meaning you don't want a lulav to be used as a child's toy, let's say. And also, perhaps, and we certainly have a custom to do this, though it may not be required, we might want to give the object of mitzvah an afterlife. So we might take old lulavs and save them until Pesach, and then use those lulavs to fire up the matzah oven, in which case they now have a second opportunity to be used in the performance of the mitzvah of baking matzah. But the halacha is that once you're done with the mitzvah, it can be thrown away. On the other hand, tashmishe kedusha, the teaching goes on, things that are used in the service of something that is holy, nignazin, they must be stored away. A geniza is a storage place. Sometimes we call it shemos. It's a place where you put holy objects that no longer need to be used, but they're not thrown away into the trash. They are stored in a respectful place that's called a geniza. Now, the teaching is going to go on to describe what kinds of objects we're talking about. The Eluhein Tashmishe Mitzvah. These are the objects that are used in the service of mitzvah. And these are just examples, not an exhaustive list. Sukkah, used in the performance of sitting in the sukkah on the holiday of Sukkot. Lulav, as we discussed. Shofar, which is used on Rosh Hashanah. And tzitzit, and fringes that are worn on a talit, on a garment, on the four corners of the garment. These things, when the tzitzit become torn, or no longer usable, if the shofar becomes cracked, if the lulav is now after Sukkot, these things, once they're not used anymore, we said nizrakin. The Elohein tashmishe kedusha, and these are the objects used in the service of holiness. The luskame svarim, a sack that holds Torah scrolls, so some kind of a pouch that you'd put a Torah scroll into. Tefillin and mezuzot, also for tefillin and mezuzot. The tikshel sefer Torah, and the case in which you would put a Torah. Also, a Sefer Torah would be referring to the 5 books all in one place, whereas Sfarim here would either be referring to individual scrolls of individual books of the Torah, or possibly, as we've discussed before, scrolls from the prophets and the writings. V'nartik shel tefillin, and also a nartik is some kind of a sheath or a case for tefillin. Rashi says that a tik is a long container and a nartik is a shorter container. And then finally, ritsuotehen. The straps of tefillin are also considered a tashmish shel kedusha. Now, there really is a third category here, because we've only been discussing things that are used in the service of a mitzvah or in the service of Kedusha. But objects that are kadosh themselves, such as an actual Sefer Torah or a scroll of one of the Nevi'im and the Prophets or actual tefillin or the actual scroll of a mezuzah, those are on a higher level that we would call them. Some people call them still tashmishei Kedusha, but they are actually objects, say a chefza shel Kedusha. So for instance, Tosfos notes here that because of the fact that it says that the straps of a tefillin are only tashmishei kedusha and not actually a chefza shel kedusha, what it means is that when we wrap the straps around our arms and we make letters, so there's a custom is that when you wrap the straps around your hand, that you spell out the letters Shin, Dalet, and Yud, which is one of Hashem's names. So the definition of a tashmishel, of an object of Kedusha, is that it has holy writing in it. So if you think about it, a Torah, mezuzahs, and tefillin all have holy writing in them. So you could make an argument because in the straps of the tefillin you're representing the letters that are holy letters, that is actually an object of Kedusha, but Tosfos says, no, it's not. Those are temporary and they're not real letters. On the other hand, the shin that's on the, that is imprinted on the head tefillin may actually make the case of the head tefillin into an object of Kedusha because that may be a real letter. And it's a halacha l'Moshe Misinai. So we learned two things from here. One is that there's a third category of objects that are really holy, and the third is that the definition of a tashmishel kedusha is that it has holy writing in it. Okay, now the Gemara is going to go on to introduce approximately 8 statements from Rava related to the topic of which things are tashmishei mitzvah and which things are tashmishei kedusha. Amar Rava, Rava said, and I'm now 3 lines up in the skinny lines. Meresh, at the beginning, hava amina, I thought, or I would have thought, hai kursiya tashmish de tashmishu, that this object called a kursiya is not any of the categories. This is a 4th category. It's not a tashmish shel kedusha, it's a tashmish de tashmish. It is one level removed. So if a tashmish shel kedusha is something that is directly used in order to service a holy object, a tashmish de tashmish is something that is slightly less directly related to the holy object. So Rashi says that this kursiya is a bima shel eitz. In other words, it's a wooden platform, kind of what we call a bima, on which a Torah scroll is placed and read from in the congregation. That's not usually what the word kursiya is used for. It usually refers to some kind of furniture, either a upholstered chair or some kind of a platform. But that seems to be what it means here. As we'll see as we go further down, we had a question about what a teva was. Was a teva the ark in which we put the Torah, or was the teva the bima? So if the kursiya is the bima on which we read the Torah, then the teva will not be. But perhaps a kursiya and a teva are 2 different types of platforms on which you can read a Torah from. We'll have to see as we go. But basically here, Rava says that this wooden platform or this wooden piece of furniture that's in a shul, he thought it was not a tashmish to kedusha, visharei, and therefore it would be permitted to get rid of it. You could use it for whatever you wanted to. You didn't have to be worried about putting it in the geniza. Last skinny line, kevan de chazina, but when I saw de motvi ilave sefer Torah, that they would sometimes put the sefer Torah on it. Now, if it's a bima, then you put it on it, which is what ilave means. If it's an ark, then it would seem to mean that you put the sefer Torah inside of it. So here, it sounds like it means something that you put the sefer Torah on. Amina, I said, tashmish kedusha, who, that it really is a tashmish of kedusha, because the Torah rests directly on this piece of furniture, it holds it up, v'asur, and therefore it is forbidden to throw it away. That's number one. Number two, the Amar Rava, first wide line. Meresh, at the beginning, hava amina, I would have thought, hai prisa, this tapestry, this is like a parochet cover, tashmish to tashmishu, that it is not directly in the service of the Torah, kevan de chazina, but when I saw de aifile, that they would fold it, umanche sifra ilave, and then they would put scrolls on top of it, amina tashmish kedusha hu, then I said that it is a tashmish of kedusha, of holiness, v'asur, and it's forbidden to throw it away. Now, we don't do that anymore, but they sometimes used to take the tapestry off and, and wrap the Torah in it, or perhaps they would put it down as like a tablecloth and put the Torah on it. In which case, we have to ask the question, if they put the tapestry down underneath the Torah, and the bima is then underneath the tapestry, does the bima now become a tashmish to tashmish because it's not direct, the Torah is not directly on it? Or the truth is the Torah would still fall onto the floor if it was not resting on the structure of the bima. So perhaps even though it's under the tapestry, it's still considered a tashmish to kedusha. The Amar Rava, Rava's third statement, Hai tevuta di irpat. If you have a teva, that so either an ark or a bima, depending on what we mean by it, the ear pot that falls apart or it's no longer functioning, mi'avda, you can make from it teva zutarti, shari. And if you made out of it a smaller teva, it's permitted because it's the same kind of object. Kursia, but if you made out of it a bima, a seer, then it would be forbidden because the bima is of a lower level of sanctity. That is the idea that we're working with. The Omar Rava, and Rava said this is his fourth statement, Hai Prisa Debala, if you have this tapestry that got worn out, so it has holes in it, Lemev de Prisa Lesifre Share, you can make out of it a covering, some kind of a shroud or a case, a fabric case, for a Sefer Torah, that's permitted, Share, Lechumashin, but for individual volumes, which have less sanctity, Asir, it's forbidden. The Amar Rava, fifth teaching, Hane Zvile de Chumshe. So Zvile of Chumshe are leather cases in which they put individual scrolls of the books of the Torah. The Kamatre de Sifre, and like crates in which they put Torahs, like boxes. Tashmish Kedusha Ninhu. These are considered Tashmish Kedusha because the Torah rests directly in them or on top of them. The Nignazin, and therefore they are put into the Geniza. So the Gemara asks, Pshita, that's obvious. That's how you define a Tashmish to Kedusha. What are you trying to tell us? Mahu detema, what might you have thought? Hane lav lekavod avidan. This leather pouch and this crate, they were not done for the sake of the honor of the Torah. Lineture ba'alma avide. They were done only to protect it. So like when you're carrying the Torah, you put it into a bag so that it doesn't get damaged. And therefore, I might have thought that they're not really Tashmishei Kedusha, that Tashmishei Kedusha are only for the sake of honoring the Sefer Torah, but if it's just simple protection, it doesn't count. Kamashmalan, this comes to teach us that these objects are still also called Tashmishei Kedusha. And the question is, what is the implication of this Gemara? Is the Gemara implying that even objects that are only used for the protection of holy objects are still considered Tashmishei Kedusha? Or is it saying these objects that are mostly for protection but maybe also have some honor, perhaps you could read it that way, would count, but if something was only for protection, then it wouldn't. So I saw a halachic discussion about certain kinds of, now Torahs can sometimes get stolen and sold. So people have high-tech safes that they put arks in, that they put the Torahs into. So if you have an ark that is really a safe, if that safe is just a place where you keep the Torah so that they don't get stolen, but it's not like a display case or you don't, you know, have it out so that you can see that it's like sort of a high-tech, you know, bank safe, would you still consider the safe to be a Tashmish to Kedusha and then you wouldn't be able to throw that safe away? Or would you say that if it's only for the sake of protecting the Torah, perhaps it is a Tashmish to Tashmish, or it's not really a Tashmish Kedusha, and then when you wanted to get rid of it, you could do whatever you wanted with it, and there seems to be a dispute about it among poskim, every posik basically says that if at least there is some element of kavod related to that to the ark, then it would be considered a tashmish to kedusha. Okay, we're continuing on 2, 4, 6, 7 lines down in the wide lines. Hahu be kenishta, there was a certain synagogue, the Yehudai Romai, of the Roman Jews. Now they weren't in Rome anymore; they relocated from Rome to Mechoza in Babylonia, but they kept their congregation together, which is the way many Jews do it, and they had the Roman congregation in Mechoza. Dahava patiach lehahu idrona, it had a opening, maybe some kind of a window or a small doorway into a room, idrona, small room, dahavi machid be mate, in which they put a corpse. So they put the corpse there. I assume that they were shortly going to bury it, but I guess they used this room as a temporary storage room for a dead person. V'havubai kohane, and the kohanim in the congregation wanted l'me'al, to go in, l'tzluye hatam, to daven there. So the kohanim wanted to go into the shul to daven there, but since there was a dead body there, they were unable to, or they would become tamei. Atu, so they came, amrulei l'rava, and they said to Rava, they asked him the question, what should they do? Amar lahu, so Rava said to them, dalu tevuta, take this teva. Now here again, we don't know what a teva means exactly. One opinion is that it means the ark in which you put the Torah, and the other is that it might be some kind of a bima. But he said, take this teva, itavuha, and put it there, dehave le kli eitz ha'asui lenachad, for it is a wooden implement. That's how Rashi knows that the teva is made of wood. It is a wooden implement which is made as a support. It's made to stay in one place. Lenachat means you don't move it. It stays in one place, and you use it as an object of furniture. So most of your furniture, you don't move around. It's not, most furniture is meant to stay in one place. So here you have a wooden implement that is supposed to stay in one place. Uklei eitzes sui lenachat, and when you have a wooden implement that is not meant to be moved, eino mekabel tuma, that wooden implement does not receive tuma. And more importantly, the chotzeitz bifnei tuma, when it is in between tuma and something else, it blocks the tuma. So since it is not generally designed to be moved, in this case, if we move it and push it up against the opening, it will not only not become tameh itself, but it will block the tuma from entering into the shul, and then the kohanim can daven there. Now, there are a whole host of problems with this theory. We would have to imagine that the ark or the bima would fully cover the opening, except for maybe a tiny amount, and there are a whole bunch of other questions, but let's just roll with it for now. Amrule Rabbanan the Rava, so Rava gave this suggestion. The rabbi said to Rava, V'ha zimnin dimetaltile, but sometimes you move this teva, ki manach sefer Torah ilave, when the Torah is on it. Meaning, it's not really an immobile object. It's an object that is occasionally moved. And sometimes you even move it when it has the Torah on it or in it. On it if it's a bima, in it if it's the aron. V'havale mitaltala, and therefore it is a movable object. Male v'rekam, both when it is full, that is when the Torah is on it or in it. V'rekam, and when it's empty, it can be moved either full or empty. And in a situation of a kli eitz hasui lenachat, it's true that it doesn't become tame and it blocks tuma as long as it's not moved male v'rekam. But it is, can be moved when it is full, and when it's empty, it no longer has that protection. Ihachi lo efshar. If that's the case, then it would be impossible to use this teva in order to block the tuma. Okay. Let's go on. We are 2, 4, 6 lines from the bottom. Amar Marzutra. Marzutra said, Mitpachot Sfarim Shebalu. If you have wrappings, these were fabric or silk, fancy wrappings that you used to wrap the Torahs in. That's how they used to wrap the Torahs instead of the kinds of little jackets that we put on them now. And these wrappings wore out. They became not so nice anymore. Osinotan tachrichin lemeit mitzvah. What you can do is make them into shrouds to bury someone who doesn't have someone else to bury them. That's called a meit mitzvah, or it's a mitzvah to assist in the burial of someone who doesn't have someone else to bury them. Vizohi genizatan. And using them in this way is the same as putting them into a geniza. So this is an example of taking something that was used as a tashmish to kedusha and now applying it to doing something else that's kadosh. In this case, what you have to argue is that a human being, even a dead human being, a body, is equivalent to an object of kedusha, just like a Torah. The Amar Rava, and Rava said, this is Rava's seventh statement, Sefer Torah Shabala, a Torah scroll that becomes worn out, gonzino to, you also put it into a geniza, but what do you do with it? You bury it, etzel talmid chacham, you bury it with a sage. Meaning when you bury the sage, you put the Torah into the grave along with him. V'afilu shoneh halachot. And even if he's not such a great sage, he's just a learned person. Rashi says he's a learned person that didn't have a real respected Rebbe. But it could just mean someone who was relatively learned but not a great scholar. You can bury them. In fact, this is what cemeteries do even today. They take boxes of shemot and other things, and they occasionally put them into the graves along with those who are being buried. Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, Ubichli Cheres, you should put them into a what's Cheres? not china, not porcelain, some kind of earthenware, a vessel. Shenemar, as it says in Yirmiyahu, unetatem bechli cheres, that they would put the scroll into this kli cheres, leman yamdu yamim rabim, so that it would last a lot, many, many years. So as opposed to the dead person who you want to go back, you know, el afar tashu, to return to the dirt, you want to make sure that these holy objects do not decompose too quickly. So that's what we learn from Yirmiyahu, and therefore that's what we do with them. We put them into the graves and allow them to be gonays, to be in a storage area inside the grave. We are two lines up from the bottom, and we're going to stop there. We'll continue in our next recording discussing the topic of which has a higher sanctity, a Beit Knesset, a place where you pray, or Beit Midrash, a place where you learn Torah. Have a wonderful day.